You have your Bibles this morning. You turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23, and verse 13. So, Luke chapter 23, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And then skip down to verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Father, we're thankful this morning that we are privileged to be together in God's house. We're thankful for your love and kindness. Thank you for watching over us and protecting us and providing for us. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that you've given us. I pray this morning for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me, that you'd help me, dear Lord, to preach the word to this congregation, to affect the hearts of those sitting before us. Father, help us to realize that we are eternity-bound people. I pray that you'd help us to make preparation for that. I pray that we'd believe on the Son of God with all of our heart, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the crucifixion of Christ. My text describes the death of Christ. He was led by the executioners to a place called Calvary to be crucified on a Roman cross as a condemned criminal. He was certainly not the first man to die on a Roman cross, and he would not die alone on this day. There would be two others who would die with him on the day of crucifixion. But there had been multiplied hundreds of people, no doubt, who had died on a Roman cross, but out of those hundreds and perhaps thousands of people who had been crucified, we don't know the names of any of them except this one man, Jesus Christ, because the crucifixion of Christ was different from all the others, because this man was different from all of the others that was ever crucified. And out of the many lessons that we could draw from the death of Jesus, I want to focus on two primary lessons this morning. One is the depth of human depravity, and the other is the depth of divine love. Because the crucifixion of Jesus exposed two things. It exposed the depth of human depravity, and it exposed the depth of divine love. It was at once the most wonderful day the world had ever known, and also the most horrible event of human history. Same event. The most shameful event of human history and the most wonderful event of human history, or at least one of the most wonderful events of human history, demonstrating the depth of human depravity and the depth of divine love. First of all, we're going to deal with the depth of human depravity. And the Bible clearly teaches us that we are depraved beings, that we are the inheritors of the fallen nature from our father Adam. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:19, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." One man's disobedience. That's talking about Adam, our father, the first man. By his disobedience, many were made sinners. And that word "made" is a word that means constituted by nature. We were constituted by nature sinners. So we are sinners by birth, and we are sinners by choice. The Bible tells us in Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." But Paul says, "I am carnal, sold under sin." Who sold us under sin? Adam sold us under sin. So our lives became governed by sin, because Adam, in sinning against God in the garden, sold the whole human race under sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 51, David said, "Behold, I was conceived in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So we are all born with a sin nature. And this depth of human depravity is illustrated by human history. One theologian remarked that this is the most clearly seen doctrine in human history. Most easily proved, because when you read human history, it's a sorry story, brother, of human failure, strife, immorality, anger, murder, lying, covetousness, adultery, abortion, war, and deceit. And all of those things mark man's history. So it's very easy to demonstrate this doctrine of the depravity of man. If you've had any children, you don't need any proof, because it's very difficult to teach a child to do good, because it's in him to do evil. And he's attracted to evil like iron to a magnet. There's something inside of a child that draws him to those things that he knows to be wrong. There's a man by the name of Ray Comfort. He's an evangelist of some sort. And he has a specific method of dealing with sinners on the streets. He'll ask them, "Do you think that you are a pretty good fellow?" "Oh, yes. Most any of them. It don't matter who they are. They'll say, 'Oh, yes. I think I'm a pretty good fellow.' Most people do think they're pretty good fellows. I don't care how horrible they may be living. It's very easy for us to justify the way we're living. And most everybody thinks I'm a pretty good fellow." So he begins to ask them some questions. He says, "God has a law. I want to ask you. The Bible tells us, the commandment of God tells us, 'Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.' Have you ever taken the name of the Lord God in vain?" "Oh, yes, certainly, many, many times." "Well, the Bible says you're a blasphemer then." Then he asked him the question, "Well, have you ever told a lie in your life?" Well, certainly, many. "Well, what is a person that tells a lie?" "Well, they're a liar." "So you admit you're a liar. Have you ever stolen anything?" "Well, I don't know. Probably not." "Well, you just said you're a liar. And you mean you haven't ever stolen anything?" "Well, yeah, I guess I have." "Okay, when somebody steals something, what kind of fellow is he?" "Well, he's a thief." "So you admit you're a thief?" "Yeah, I guess so." "Well, Jesus said, that if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, that he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Have you ever looked on a woman and lusted after her? Well, yes, certainly, many times. So what are you? Well, I guess I'm an adulterer. So you have just said that you are a blaspheming, lying, thieving adulterer. Correct? Yes, I guess so. And you're a pretty good fellow. Are you guilty or not? Well, I guess I'm guilty. All right? Is it heaven or hell? And, you know, it's pretty plain. Hell. Going to hell. And when you realize, when you put a man up against the commandments of God, you realize we're not pretty good fellows after all. We've broken the commands of God. We're rebels against God. We are fallen creatures. Human depravity is an easily proved doctrine. But there's nothing that measures human depravity like the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Nothing demonstrates more vividly our fallenness than the fact that we crucified the Son of God. And only when we understand who Jesus really was can we understand what a horrible sin we committed in crucifying Jesus Christ. Jesus was no ordinary man. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was the Word made flesh. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's an immeasurable difference between verse 1 and verse 14. Jesus is the Word. He was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. And that same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's an immeasurable distance between verse 1 and verse 14. Jesus descended and became a man. The Bible never says that man became God, but it does tell us that God became a man. It tells us great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 14, or 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, he's talking about Jesus, is the last Adam. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Get this. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. That's talking about Adam. The second man, and that's talking about Jesus. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Did you hear that? The second man is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. Which, talking about the wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know the wisdom of God. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who was this man, Jesus? He was the Lord of glory. He was the Lord from heaven. He was God in flesh. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by Him. And tells us in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He walked among creatures that were the products of His power, and they didn't know Him. And they didn't recognize Him, that He was their Creator. You remember when Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin court, and the high priest had brought many witnesses against Jesus, and none of them could agree. And finally, the high priest just cut to the chase and said, hey, Are you the Son of God? And at that moment,